Hey, everybody. Thank you so much for listening to Rice to Meet You, the podcast about Asian culture. If you like us, please subscribe and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. It really helps us grow and reach new people. In today's show, I just wanted to let you know we will be talking about sensitive topics such as mental health, suicidal thoughts, and drug use. Listener discretion is advised. And now, on with the show.
And I told her, and at the end, she was like, okay. So she was like, she said, and she was trying to like make sense of it. And obviously, look, I'm having this conversation in Punjabi as well. Like, so there's no like...
Ayahuasca, how do you translate that?
Yeah, I was like, how do I say depression in Punjabi? Just with a Punjabi accent. Depression. Do you get any hate or any kind of negative comments from the Asian community about what you do?
Oh, well, no. If you mean the Asian community is my parents. No.
Only negative comments.
Only negative. I've actually, so I just did a TV show in Sweden.
Evelyn's not British either.
No, I'm not British. I've actually gotten some nice kind of interaction from Asian Swedes.
Nice.
Because there's so little representation there. Mm-hmm. But I think if an older generation of Asian people saw my stand-up, it would be different because I'm so dirty. Mm-hmm. That's something I'm trying to reconcile. I'm trying to reconcile my stage persona with my offstage persona because mm-hmm. I'm not as friendly on stage as I am off stage.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm like, it would be interesting to see if the listeners from this podcast would see me do stand up, how they would react to that. Because I think it's very different from what they would expect.
You'll get there. You eventually merge the two.
Merge
together.
The two. Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
Welcome to another episode of Rice to Meet You, our podcast about Asian culture. I'm your co-host, Nigel Ng.
And I'm your co-host, Evelyn Mok.
Yes. Who do you have as our special guest today, Evelyn?
Our special guest is the lovely Suk Ochla.
She said it right.
Suk Ochla.
I was actually nervous.
I know you were. Yes. Paused.
We don't care. We fucked up like three guests' names before.
That was perfect. Up a lot of them.
But that was perfect.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Say it again. Say it again so I can.
Ochla.
That's it.
Ochla.
So I get Suk Ola a lot. It's not.
Do you get Olia?
Yeah. I get Suk Olia. Suk Olia.
Olia in Swedish is oil.
Oh, is it? Yeah, I think for some reason people think the J is silent. It's not. I'm not Spanish.
Yeah, this is a very white like concept to have, the silent J.
Yeah.
Very European.
Yeah. And they're always trying to like make it really fancy, you know, because I'm like, oh, no, it's Sokodula. And they're like, oh, it's Sokodula. And I'm like, no, why are you doing that? It's really simple.
It's S-U-K-H-O-J-L-A.
Yeah. And like Suk is short for Sukjeet. Like that is my full name.
Sukjeet.
Yeah.
That's really pretty.
Thanks, man.
Is it pretty?
Is it?
Well, is Nigel pretty?
No, it's not. It's horrible. Which I have jokes about it. We don't want to do it here. Wait, but yeah, it's a shitty name.
I can't believe I haven't asked you. What's your Chinese name?
I was just about to say.
Oh my God.
Do you have a Chinese name?
Huang Jingyu.
Huang Jingyu.
Yeah.
What's
second tone. Yeah.
What's the meaning?
They both mean pretty and beautiful, something like that. Huang is my surname.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Jingyu, they both mean like, you know, beautiful.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Beautiful, beautiful.
What does Nigel mean?
Nothing.
Nigel has to have a meaning.
It means a colonial.
No, colonial means
leftover.
Britain's colonial past. In Malaysia,
it's a really old name.
The joke is about a lot of Malaysians. It is real too. A lot of Malaysians, you adopted British first names because you used to be a British colony.
Yeah.
But the thing is, they left us in 1957. So all our names are still stuck in that era. You know, they didn't send us any software updates. So we got the uncool British names, you know?
Yeah.
Colin, Keith, Harold, Simon. My brother's name is Gary.
No, your brother's name.
Yeah, my brother, Gary Ng. Gary Ng, it's true.
That is
Look
so
it up.
Funny.
I even know a Malaysian, Basil. Basil Wang, great guy.
Basil Wang!
Yeah, can we have some cool names like Harry or George, you know?
Even a John.
Cool. No?
Even like an Alex. I take an Alex.
Alex.
Sam. All right. Yeah. There are some Alexes there. We're trying to catch on. How about a Chad? We'll take a Chad.
Oh, no. Chad's a dickhead. Chad's like a dick.
I'll take Chad over Nigel.
Chad, if you add a Chad, your rape statistics will increase.
Yeah, that's true.
that's true.
Yeah, you'll be on a list somewhere, dude.
Your date rapes will just increase, mate.
Yeah, so that's why a lot of Malaysians have shitty British names. But it's too late to change it now. My parents have been calling me this their whole lives. So it's like, mm-hmm. all right, I'll live with this.
It suits you.
It's very common. Nigel Ng. My last name is NG, right? Mm-hmm. So it's Ng. And it's a very common name.
But you said Huang. Huang, so how come it is an H-U-A-N-J?
Well, that would be if you're from mainland China.
Yeah.
If you're like Chinese, then it would be Huang.
Okay.
But if you're in like, if I think if you're Cantonese, like Hong Kong, is Wu. Like Huang would be, wait. Ng, N-G in Hong Kong would be Wu. That
Wu.
You don't know the Chinese characters, right? Ko Tian Wu. But then for me, I'm like someone from Fujian province. So the dialect-wise, Ng is Huang. Now it's time for you.
Yeah, who are you, Sok?
Oh, hi.
Tell us a bit about
what do you
yourself.
Do?
I'm an actress and a comedian and a writer and a general disappointment to my parents.
That's everybody. We only get disappointment to parents
on
the podcast.
That. Thank you.
Otherwise, you'd be interviewing bankers and doctors all
the time. Oh, no. How boring.
I know.
Were you ever on that path?
No. I don't know why I ever said that. There's like not a chance in hell of me being that person. I knew like really early on that I wasn't like the other Asian girls.
You weren't like the other.
Yeah, like I wasn't like the other Indian girls who were like all like really tiny, really like petite, like long, like straight, beautiful black hair, like all like stunning looking. And I had hair, but just in all the wrong places. And I was always just like not very delicate, you know, like I am now. And, you know, and like the irony is that in terms of like what, like I was basically raised to be a wife, you know.
Yes.
So I was like, I could cook and clean and like take care of a whole house and make like, you know, big, full, like traditional Punjabi meals by the time I was like, I started learning at 8. Yeah.
Amazing.
So my mum would literally be like, I learned by doing. Like my mum's a great teacher. Actually, like thinking about it now, I'm like, she was just like, you learn by doing. This is how we... And I'm like, that's a really... Actually, when you think about it now, so I worked in education for a few years. I was like, that's a really nice way to teach people. But also, you are grooming me to be a housewife. So slightly darker.
And taught you how to satisfy a man.
Yeah.
Well. She's like, Mariah, this is what you need to do.
So is there a man in your life right now?
No.
No? Oh, your mom's efforts.
I know.
All gone down the
drain, baby. I know.
And
do you know what the thing is? It's like, I would be a really good housewife.
That's what I keep thinking about me too.
Really?
Because I totally was put on this planet to be a housewife, to like cook stuff, take care of kids.
The dream. I mean, no. Can I be the housewife without the kids?
Yeah, exactly. That would be great.
Like keep house. I can decorate. I'm very like good at DIY as well. So we'd save money. I can do basic plumbing.
Yeah.
You know, I can do all
but
of that.
Somehow along the road, we developed opinions.
Yeah. That was shit.
Yeah. That ruins everything. No matter how good your dinner is, you know, opinions.
I don't want to hear it.
Yeah.
I don't hear it.
Make
me
a curry, girl.
Yeah.
Stop talking about
it. I don't know if you want to share this, but earlier today, Nigel was saying he just wants a docile.
No, I didn't say that. I didn't say that.
You want a docile?
No, I don't want a docile. I want someone who has that fire. You know, I want someone who would yell at me. I want someone when I yell at her, she yells back.
That's nice. You can probably pay for that service, though.
Really?
Yeah.
It's like
helplines.
Any customer support line ever. Every time my Wi-Fi goes on, all right, time to talk to this girl. I've turned it off and on already. Stop going through your flow chart. Just send the guy out, please.
Have you ever thought about marrying for money, Evelyn?
All the time.
Yeah.
But I'm not pretty enough.
See, this is the thing. I'm too old and I'm not pretty enough. Like, I should have got in there in my
20s. My God. Yeah. What are these, like, low self-esteem people doing on this podcast?
It's like, get out.
Jesus Christ. Have some confidence in yourself, ladies. Go and listen to Lizzo.
Go and listen to Lizzo.
But I'm not talented like her either, Nigel. So thanks.
Oh, that's funny.
That makes me feel great about myself. I jokingly put up a... So basically, like the comedy wanker that I am, I put up my list of November gigs on my Instagram yesterday, right? Jokingly, I put up a hashtag, like hashtag need a sugar daddy.
Yes.
Right? Just very jokingly, because I'm not in the demographic. I'm not in the sugar baby demographic. And I legit got messages from guys being like, I'll pay you $500. I'm so tempted.
Do oh my God, it. What did they say? Like, just what did you need to do?
Like, just talk to them because they're in the States or whatever, or like Canada or whatever.
Yeah, they were $500 is not even sex money. $500 is just a companionship. Maybe
I don't even want to know how you know this.
For the going rates, I know friends who are in that market.
No.
They go on apps like Seeking Arrangement. That's a website and app you can use.
Are you writing this down?
Yeah.
It will mental be recorded notes. In the it'll be recorded, podcast.
Yeah, we're not yeah, cutting
we'll
this out.
Yeah, we'll put up links.
So 500 is no sex, man. Sex, you got to go 1500 or above. Otherwise, you're undervaluing yourself in the market.
I've heard that some of these Instagram like travelers, the women, that's what they do.
The digital nomads.
Yeah.
Sorry?
Digital nomads.
AKA.
Yeah, that's what they're called.
Traveling whores.
You can't say traveling whores.
That's what you were implying.
Oh, my
traveling,
gosh.
Traveling was, sex workers.
Yeah. I just came out with a catchy name for them.
So these women, is that to like make money they do that? As on the sidelines?
Yeah, I think these dudes pay for their travels and what they have to do is.
Do you know what I thought you meant? I thought you meant like those cute white bloggers who are on a beach in Bali.
Yeah.
Oh.
Is that what I mean? I think so.
No, yeah. People who actually like do that for a living, where they're I work in marketing, but I can work from anywhere, so I'm going to go travel the world and do marketing.
Oh no, so there are people like them, influencers. But like the influencers, this is coming from a questionable resource.
It's exciting. It's funny.
People, yeah, but because I know about influencers who, or not necessarily influencers, but women who get flown out, to like spend the weekend in Greece with somebody and get paid for their time.
Yeah, isn't that amazing?
Do you know what? Is there a service where I could like provide the girlfriend experience, so then I wouldn't have to sleep with the man?
Yeah. Oh my god.
Yeah. You can have checkboxes of preferences.
Yeah. I could be like chat, all good, and then we'll have a fight before bed, and you can sleep on the couch.
Yes.
And I will sleep in the bed.
Yes. You can just like tell him off.
Yeah.
For doing something bad.
Really good.
The topic today. What were we supposed to have you on to talk about again?
Mental health.
Mental health, yes. As an Asian person, we don't really care about mental health. So we're going to talk about mental health.
In the Asian community. Yeah. And how it's kind of not talked about.
Yes.
Yeah.
Talk about it. You heard it here first. What problems do you have, Sook?
I'm right in there.
What's wrong with you, Sook?
What's wrong with you? I guess like depression and generalized anxiety disorder.
Okay.
Same so with me. Fairly standard.
Yeah, a little bit of OCD I have too.
Nice.
Yeah, linked to the anxiety and that.
Yeah.
Are you guys treating it?
Can I talk about drugs on this?
Yeah.
You can talk about everything.
Oh, okay, cool. I went to take ayahuasca last year. Have you heard of it?
Ayahuasca, explain to our listeners what it is.
Ayahuasca is a plant. It's a combination of plants that are found in the Amazon, Peruvian Amazon, and they are stewed together to make a tea, like a type of drink that you take in a ceremony. It's a very, very old, it's like a really ancient kind of remedy for all sorts of problems that's been used in that part of the world for years and years and years by the indigenous people there, but traditionally used by shamans. So you'd go see a shaman and you'd be like, hey man, my crop's not so great this year. And he's like, and I'm a bit worried about it. And he's like, cool, let me take this drink and I'll tell you what to do.
But so instead of fixing the problem,
I'm going to get
just
high.
Get high, mate.
Come on, guys.
To be fair, though, it kind of is a white thing nowadays.
What, ayahuasca? Yeah, fuck yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Absolutely. The whole like commodification of that kind of thing and how it's really ruining the actual plants that make ayahuasca and blah, blah, blah. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, because it's become a real industry and there's people like, you know, selling it on the streets in Peru for like $10 and stuff. And like, and you know, people have died.
Of overdosing?
What? From ayahuasca. No, not from overdosing. From like, because it's a really intense kind of medicine, like, and it's really intense experience as well. So if you've taken like, say, other recreational drugs and you take it, people die.
Shit.
It's like one of the first things that comes up when you Google it. And yeah, like a kid from the UK died like a few years ago because he took it. And people, you don't know what people are like, because obviously they've seen like that in that part of the world. Now they're like, oh, here are the rich Westerners. Obviously, let's take them for what they've got. Fuck yeah, I'd be doing the same. And if my parents hadn't moved here in the 60s, I'd be there. Oh, not in Peru, but like, you know, I'd be scamming someone.
What could you offer in India?
Again, my body. I think. I don't know what else I've got I'd have to give.
At least you can offer your body. I have nothing.
Yeah.
What can I offer? Nothing. I have to work. Companionship.
Yeah, I took that because I was suicidal last year and not for the first time. Yeah, it's whatever, it happens all the time. But then the reason why I freaked out about it last year more than before is because my life was going well. And I was like, well, you have no reason to feel down. Like, why'd you feel down? And my friend Emma went to take ayahuasca and I'm incredibly risk averse. I'm a control freak. I'm an only child of immigrant parents who went to a grammar school. And like, I'm like, I don't even cross the road unless there's a pedestrian crossing. Like, I'm like super, you know, always want to play by the rules. And I was going to go on antidepressants. And my friend said, please don't take antidepressants because of the way that they interact with like our brain chemistry and stuff. And they can really fuck shit up for us. I said, look, I will take them. She was like, please try this. And now like my friend is like really open about taking drugs and stuff. I've never taken psychedelics in my life. But that's how desperate I was. I went to Spain. I went to Barcelona. I took ayahuasca. I did 3 ceremonies and it changed my life. Nice. I'm no longer depressed. And I, really? Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I've not had any suicidal thoughts.
Yeah, sign up to ayahuasca.com and use the code RISE for 15% off your first order.
Oh, we love disco.
Hey, ayahuasca, sponsor us.
that big we'll multinational company, yeah. Ayahuasca.
Peruvians, hit us up.
But yeah.
Yeah, like, Peruvians, sponsor a podcast. Come and sponsor our podcast.
The whitest Peruvians. Thing you've ever said, Nigel.
What? What's the whitest thing? What did I say?
Oh gosh.
Was that effective?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
So were you worried before going that
I thought I was gonna die.
Adverse.
Yeah, yeah. I thought I was gonna die. Yeah.
When you were doing the drug.
Before, during, I'd spent my whole time just nervously sweating. Like I was so terrified, so out of my comfort zone. So when you take ayahuasca, it can create like really kind of quite intense visions, hallucinations and stuff. So that scared me because I've never taken LSD or anything like that, any kind of hallucinogenic before. Obviously people have died, and it also can cause you to throw up or shit yourself. Pretty much like scared of all of the above. I didn't throw up or shit myself.
Good.
Okay.
But and obviously
you had
didn't die.
Hallucinations.
Oh, like really intense ones. Yeah.
So walk us through like the process. Yeah. What did you see?
Do you want me to like walk you through the ceremony?
Yeah. Yeah.
Walk
let's
us
do
through
it.
The process.
So
then
pre ayahuasca, you're encouraged to follow a certain diet.
Okay.
So like you're encouraged to like not drink, don't smoke, don't take any drugs or like any medication that you're on. You kind of have to taper off to get to this point because they don't really know how it's going to interact with the ayahuasca, which already creates a problem if you're on antidepressants or any kind of medication like that to kind of help your mental health. So I wasn't, so that was fine. So I gave up like processed foods. I didn't stop drinking. I didn't give up cheese. But like, apart from that, I was like no processed food and drank a lot of water. And I like started meditating a lot more. It's kind of just so that you're more open to what's going to happen. So you do that for a few weeks before. I did a bit of reading, but not too much because I didn't want to scare myself about reading about people who died taking it. You turn up. Small group, 10 of us. They show you around. You basically, you sign a disclaimer saying that I know that one of the risks of this can be death as well. So that was probably, so that was pretty scary. But I was so desperate. I was like, I don't care. I want to die anyway. So I either die doing this or I like kill myself, you know, at home. So yeah. And then you take it at night, which is, again, I'm not a night owl. You know, I like to be in bed by like 10:30. 11 at the latest. Comedy's probably not the right career for me. So yeah, and then you take it like a shot. Look, there were like 10 or 11 of us in the group. Everybody's experience was very, very different. Everybody was there for really different reasons. But a lot of people were there because they were like, I'm really unhappy. I don't feel like I deserve good things. I don't feel like I deserve love. I don't feel like I'm enough. That was like the common thread.
Wow.
Throughout this whole retreat, because we were all really open about it. You know, obviously you're kind of there. You're obviously at a point in your life where you're sick of your own shit, right? Like, this is why we're here. No one's here for a jolly. I think a couple of people turned up on the second night who maybe were like, hey, man, like, we're just like traveling through Barcelona, man. And I was like, dude, this is not great for you. But yeah, so I took it the first time, literally nothing happened. And I was like, I've been scammed. This is ridiculous. It's like a lot of money, blah, blah, blah. But it obviously like works on a different level. And then they offered a booster. And so I took a booster, which is basically like
another shot.
Yeah, another shot, but it's like a slightly weakened shot. Like, and it tastes disgusting, which is why you take it. Like it tastes like drinking from a pond. Like it's disgusting. And it made me feel like I took the booster and I was like, oh, I feel a bit sick. And I was like, oh, I'm going to throw up. And they like very kindly provide you with your own sick bucket. Very nice of them. But all I was thinking was like, I was trying to like have my mantra of like, I'm really open to this experience. Like I want to see whatever it is that I need to see in order to like heal myself. But my mantra at this point was like, please don't let me shit myself. Please don't let me shit myself. And
maybe that was what you needed to see.
Yeah. Pooping me not yourself. Shit. Yeah. Maybe I need to like shit myself. But no, I saw like, I saw all sorts over the three nights. You know, I saw my dad at my birth. I turned into an elephant at one point. I was an elephant who was about to give birth. I saw the actual devil crawling out of my mouth and across my face, which is where I really freaked out. And I was like, fuck this shit, I'm going home. Like, I was like, I literally put myself to bed after the first night. And because I didn't know, because it was dark and it was really disorientating.
Is it out in the forest?
No, it's literally in like a really nice little villa. Like, so it's like, I'm just like, I'm tired. Like, I got up really early to go to Gatwick. Like, I'm really tired at this point. I don't know how long this is going to last. I don't quite feel like myself. I feel really sick. And you know, when you're like, I just want my mum.
Yeah.
You know, when you're like, I feel sick. I feel ill. That first night, I was like, I'm done. And so I was like, as soon as I wake up, I'm going to get my stuff together and I'm going to get a cab to the airport and I'm going to go home. And I woke up the next morning and I was like, okay, I don't feel too bad. I feel okay. And then I, to cut a long story short, went to have a shower and was standing in front of the mirror, found this full length mirror. And it was the first time in my life that I've looked at my body, naked or otherwise, and I've not had any negative thoughts about how I look.
Oh,
like I was literally standing there going, okay, come on, like, come on, you fucker. I was like, where's the, why are you not calling yourself ugly? Like, what's going on here? And I stood there for ages and I heard a voice. And I don't know what this voice is, but I just heard this voice and it said, this is your body. Like, it was really matter of fact. It was like, this is your body. And I was like, the fuck, like, that's literally all it is. Like, it is a body, like, yeah, anybody else's, yeah, body. Like, and it was so simple for me, who'd like grown up like self-loathing and like, you know, standards of beauty and blah blah, and coming from like a family where like people are like, you know, this is, you know, I'm not the version of attractive
typical Indian,
yeah, yeah, like, you know, if you don't look like this, then you're, you know, no one's gonna marry you, blah, blah. So I've had like, you know, that from a really really young age, and obviously like was put on a diet at 10, and I, you know, so it's like really fucked up kind of body image stuff things. And it was the first time that that was like a major thing. My like negative chatter just completely went by day two. I met my future self in one of the visions. And then the main thing was like on the last night, I met my inner child.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So like I met myself at 5 years old and it was really clear. We had a chat. Like,
You talk about?
Well, I was just like, what are you doing? She was like in a field. I was like, what the fuck are you doing? She was on her own. I was like, what are you doing here? She just stared at me like right in the eyes. And she was like, I've been here all along. And I was like, what the? And I was like bawling. I was like crying. Cause like, I just felt like she felt lonely and she felt abandoned. And I was like, that's how I felt my whole life. That was like what my depression did, was like made me feel lonely and abandoned. And like, no one understood me. And then we had this, it was just, there's so much happened. The next morning I woke up and I was like, I feel like I'm home. Like, I feel like I'm home in my body. I don't know if you ever had this when you're really depressed. It's like you feel quite disconnected.
Yeah.
I sometimes get that thing where I'm like, I'm not in my body.
Mm-hmm.
So what is it, like depersonalization or something like that? I don't know. There's a term for it. You just detach from.
Detach.
And it got to the point before I went to take ayahuasca is I couldn't physically feel my body.
Oh, wow.
And it had got really, really bad. And I remember just getting in the shower and like having a shower. And I was like, this is the first time I felt my body like in 6 months. I can actually feel my body. I spent like ages just being like, just touching my hands, just being like, oh, I can just feel my body. But
do you masturbate right afterwards?
Oh my God, it was the best. It was the best. Why did you, before that, it felt like someone else was doing it. And frankly,
that's even better.
No one else has done it for a while. No, it's, yeah, I mean,
I would be depressed just so I can feel like someone else is touching my dick.
You could just sit on your hand.
Yeah, sit on your hand.
Sit in your hand, man. Sit in your hand. He's so excited about this. But anyway, so it saved my life.
Sorry for ruining that little tender moment
there. You fucking ruined it, man. I'm like pouring my heart out. I'd be catching this. This guy.
So yeah, I mean, that's fascinating. I would be too
scared
to let go of that control.
Yeah. And my issue was control.
Yeah.
It's always been control. And look, there's still things that like I want to go and take it again because I know that my experience now would be very different.
Yeah.
Because I feel like a very different person.
What if it resets you? And goes back to the other.
It's just like, more. Yeah. Third time.
You reverse it again. You should be scared. It's terrifying. It's the worst thing I've put myself through, but the best thing I've done.
So how do they look after you then?
So you have therapy every day. And there's a therapist and there's a doctor. And so you're like really well taken care of. And that's the reason I went to this one, because my friend had been and she'd recommended it. Because obviously, like, you know, a lot of people out there who are.
Yeah.
And the most important, I mean, it's the weird thing to say that I recommend it, because obviously it's very personal and people do it for lots of different reasons. And obviously like research, what you should do and blah, blah, blah. But I think don't discount it. is what I'm going to say. I'm like, for some people are really happy taking antidepressants to doing all that. I had heard so many bad stories from people that are very close to me who'd started taking antidepressants and then they were like, well, this is it for me now.
Yeah.
Or it just really numbed them, or they then had like no libido or no creativity or no like high points, and like caused all sorts of problems in other parts of their life. I just thought, well, why not just try everything?
Yeah.
Like, why not? I'm really glad I did. I think the hardest part of it, I say like doing the ayahuasca was hard, but what was hard was coming back, because I came back feeling completely different, but looking the same. And so I'm then like having conversations with people and I'm like, oh, like instantly my friendship group shifted. I didn't, without me even realizing it, I really got to kind of, there's a lot of kind of toxic friendships that I just carried on out of guilt or out of like duty. And I was like, nah.
I just broke it off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But also without guilt, like with love. I was just like, oh, this is not good. I can't do it. So the hardest part was coming back and like going back to do comedy. Everything just felt a bit hollow.
Yeah.
Because I felt so much happier. I was going to do comedy and I was like, oh, I used to do this because it validated me and it felt really good. And that's the only kind of like high I got. But now I don't really need that. So why am I doing it?
See, this is so fascinating. This
for money.
You're saying I'm going to drop out of my show.
So long story short, you're going to have to find a replacement.
I knew it.
Yeah, this is why Sook wanted to come here.
To tell you in person, because I'm a really enlightened being now.
Anymore.
But with love, Nigel.
Can you do comedy from a place of like, you know, acceptance? I don't. Sometimes you pursue a craft. Yeah, maybe at first it's for validation, but after a while you're like, oh, I just want to be good at this because I just want to be good at it.
Yeah. Nice, I mean, but I don't think I would have reached that point was I not happy within myself.
Yeah.
Whereas I think now I'm like more accepting of the fact that no, because look, I came back and I was like, I need to change my career. I need to become a fucking doula or something. Like, do you know what I mean?
Doula?
Yeah. Like, do you know, like a doula, like a midwife, like a...
Yeah, a spiritual
type.
Morale booster midwife.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So who do amazing work.
Some white stuff. It's white stuff.
Yeah.
Okay.
Taken from other cultures.
Oh, finally, like minorities taken from white people.
What?
This is new.
Readjusting the balance, guys.
Yeah.
But no.
There's not much to take, really.
Yeah, there's not much.
What, ketchup? Brown sauce.
Brown sauce. Imagine that.
We have brown sauce on here. Culturally appropriate. Oh, there's nothing here. Fuck.
There you go. Oh, but that's... That is fascinating because I think I've just come to terms with my depression and anxiety and OCD and stuff, and it's taking me 31 years. Mm. But that's also what I felt. I think I reached a point also in comedy a few years ago where I realized that I didn't need the validation anymore. Mm. And that was what I was doing it for. Yeah. And then it just became so confusing because I was like, then maybe I don't want to do this anymore because it's very tough.
Yeah.
And it's also not the funnest kind of backstage life if you're not in the right crowd or if you don't have like stone cold focus on what you're doing. And it's very hollow.
Yeah.
It's taken me a lot of years to reconcile that and actually be like, you know what? I probably do want to keep on doing comedy because I do like the craft itself. But it's so difficult to turn off all of the other kind of...
The crap that comes with it.
Yeah, the crap that comes with it. That's so fascinating. I love this conversation.
You
guys talk now.
It's really good.
Nice.
It's very fascinating.
Sorry. I feel like I've like just sucked all the funny out of the room now because of it. But like that was, and it was quite an earnest way of like putting it.
Talking to a bunch of commies who don't want to be comedians anymore. I don't need this, people. I'm above.
It's really enlightened, guys.
Yeah. Is that why you still do acting roles?
Acting is
that's even more validation, isn't it?
Acting is more no control.
Yeah,
no control.
Yeah. But I think it's maybe different for you to hear because I think you, Nigel, I feel like you've always been very self fulfilled.
I think so.
Yeah.
Now that I've lived in the Western world, sometimes I doubt myself. Am I really self fulfilled or am I just deluding myself? Because all of my friends have some, you know, they go to therapy and they have some sort of like thing they're fighting with. But then I just go about life and I'm like, I'm okay. I got sad days sometimes, but happy days. Most of the days I'm neutral, which is what people are, I think. Most of the days you're neutral, I'm fine.
Yeah.
I've never had like a traumatic childhood like you, Sook, where people were judging my body and telling me what to be. Mm-hmm. They just said I was too skinny. I guess. But that's not a big problem.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. That's one of the best problems to have.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, you're too skinny.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. But, you know, I never had that kind of trauma in my life. Yeah. When I look into the mirror, I kind of like what I see. So
yeah. Well, you seem like,
it's good. Yeah.
You know, quite kind of happy within yourself. And that's, yeah, great.
Yeah.
So have you lived with depression throughout your life?
Yeah,
or was
I've
it really
always
bad?
Been depressed.
Yeah.
Yeah, which I didn't realize, because obviously if you always are something, you don't realize.
No. And especially in the Asian community, we don't talk about it.
No, yeah. No, not at all. Like I didn't talk about it with my parents.
No.
I didn't ever, like I hid it really well.
What are the symptoms of like clinical depression? Not just, oh, I'm a bit sad today.
Mm.
Yeah. What are the symptoms?
Well, I think it's very individual, but I think general kind of symptoms is like you feel hopeless and you feel useless as a person, and you're kind of like sad for no reason.
Yeah. The other thing is like you can be depressed, and I know that you probably feel the same.
Yeah.
You can be depressed or like have episodes of depression, but every single episode will feel different.
Yes, exactly.
And that's a real fucker, because then you're like, oh, am I depressed? But last time it didn't feel like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the other thing about depression that really surprised me was every time I'd get depressed, I'd forget how bad it was.
Yes,
like,
exactly.
Like childbirth.
Yeah.
Like people are like, I've had another kid, it won't be that bad. And then they're like, oh shit,
that's right. Yeah.
Like that was like me with depression. I'd be like, oh, is this depression? Ah, I'll be fine. Oh no, it's really bad.
Yeah, yeah,
it's
yeah.
It's really, really bad. Yeah. I think there's obviously like physical effects to it as well.
And, yeah, really tired.
Yeah, super tired.
Loss of appetite. I don't know about you, but like simple things like just doing the dishes or even just getting out of bed.
Getting out of bed was always a hard
makes
one.
You anxious. Yeah.
Even things like showering.
Yes, showering. Yeah, yeah.
It's like there's showering. Absolutely no way that I there were so many days where I just could not drag myself to the shower, which is like next door to my room.
This sounds disgusting, but yeah, when I have an episode, it's like I realize how bad my showering is. I shower if I have to.
Yeah.
And how many days is that?
It's usually every other day. Oh, okay. I should shower every day, of course, everybody should, but I'm like,
but if you can't
get away with it. Yeah,
which is always what I hate, like self-care and like this whole like kind of just have a bath, just do this. I once, the only useful thing I've ever seen on Instagram about depression was somebody just saying, when you're in a not depressed phase, in your bedside drawer, put some cleaning wipes, put some chewing gum, put some bits, so that when you are in that place where you cannot get out of bed, the least you can do is like reach over, open a window, and then reach to your bedside drawer. And then at least have like some face wipes or something, because that will make, hopefully help you to feel slightly better.
Yeah.
And I've kind of done that just in case, because the other thing is I don't take this for granted either. Like I've had a year of being depression free, which feels incredible, but it's like cleaning a bath. I don't know if you ever moved into a place with a really dirty bath. Yeah.
You see the two feet, the outline of two
feet? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You stand in it. Oh, my college days.
Oh, and then you like you put your gloves on and you're like, you have a scrub and you're like, you rinse it off and you think, okay, that's a bit better, but I don't feel relaxed enough to get in the bath.
Yeah.
And then you're like, I have to have another go at it.
Yeah.
I feel like the first time I did ayahuasca, I've got most of the grime off.
Yeah.
But I need to do it again.
Yeah, it's because coming
it's coming back and I'm like, it's not coming back, but I'm like, there's still stuff there that I need to look at. But I couldn't have looked at that if I was depressed.
Do you do therapy?
I did do therapy for years. The thing is, after I've taken ayahuasca, therapy doesn't even come close.
Really?
Yeah. And I didn't think I'd say that. So I thought I might continue or whatever. I know some great therapists and stuff. But
even after ayahuasca, that it would be easier to talk about some stuff.
Or... No, because I never had an issue talking about it.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah.
So for me, I never had like, I mean, I did for years because the shame of like feeling like that and like the guilt as well, because I'm like, I live in the UK.
Yeah.
You know, I've got parents who love me. I've got lovely friends. I'm fine. I'm healthy. Like I shouldn't feel like this. But, you know, since I've started talking about it, I never shut up. Mental health, fat acceptance, being single and fucking fears are like my three like top topics to talk about. And one of the reasons I took ayahuasca was because I did therapy, it helped to a certain point, but I knew that there was a part of me, the problem was so deep down that I could not reach it unless I did something quite extreme. Yeah. And so when I took ayahuasca, I realized exactly where the issue stemmed from. I realized how I need to take care of myself, which I still work on because I've had years of not taking care of myself.
Mm-hmm.
And by that, I mean like not sleeping, not staying hydrated, not eating regular meals.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's like post ayahuasca, I've got to retrain myself to then look at food in a nicer way, to look at being hydrated, to look at rest and stuff, and to not feel guilty about like taking a day off or having a nap. So I feel like that's the stuff that I've got to learn for the first time.
As an adult,
yeah, because for years I was in survival mode, you know, and now I'm not. Now I'm thriving, not just surviving. I've got to figure out a way to live my life that kind of carries on the work that ayahuasca started.
That's fascinating because I think when it comes to food, like food is so closely linked to my mental health. So yeah. I gained a lot of weight when I moved here to the UK, and part because it was the start of a very depressive episode. And also then because of the weight gain just perpetuated that depression. And so it's like it's a cycle. Mm. And before I moved here, I was quite happy with my body. Mm. And, you know, obviously you have little things and stuff, but it was fine. But then when that happened, like my body just became this evidence for my behavior and for my depression, which made me even more sad.
Yeah. And it becomes a kind of, I don't know if you find this like an armor.
It becomes an armor. Yeah.
And so definitely, like the more depressed I was, the less I wanted to be seen.
Yes.
I did not want to be seen. There were times when I lost my appetite being depressed, but most of the time it was overate.
Yeah.
But to get a dopamine hit.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like the reason it felt good is because it's giving, this is the only place I'm getting a dopamine hit. Yeah. So I would just eat, I would binge.
Yeah,
same ages here. And ages and ages, and I would just binge. And that was my life. Like, you know, for ages it was like yo-yo dieting, and then it was dieting. And then like when I turned 30, I was like, dude, you are who you are.
Yeah.
Like you're not going to be skinny. Like you, this is the path that you're on in terms of work, in terms of this, like, yeah, sure, you know, rom-coms and like fucking novels try and tell us that we can all jack it in and like it's like, but no, you've made choices that have led you to this point, like stick with it. There's no point hating on your body. And so I stopped dieting and my body didn't change.
Yeah.
And it's like I thought the worst thing would happen. I thought I'd be a shut-in. Like I was
dieted for nothing.
Yeah exactly. Because I fucked up my body for years and years and years. Yeah. Like yo-yo dieting and starving myself and whatever, self-harm essentially, right?
It is self-harm.
And I found that like it's that kind of weird thing. It's like the bigger you get, the more invisible you are, even though you take up more physical space.
And I always had this conspiracy theory that it's like, oh, it's because skinny people have made us feel bad about ourselves because we're bigger and we could crush them. And that's how they want to put us in a mental prison to keep us from crushing them. But no, it's not.
It's not. It's up here.
Skinny
it's
people up, are not thinking about us.
No, yeah. They don't care.
They're out there playing beach volleyball.
Yeah. They're living their lives.
Getting laid.
Yeah.
They're not trying to say, how can we scheme against fat people? They're out there being happy.
They're out there buying clothes off the rack in the high street. That's what they're so doing.
Funny.
Just walking into places and going, oh,
meanwhile,
I dropped coffee on my top. Let me just buy this. Meanwhile, I'm like, I'm just going to have coffee on my top all day.
Meanwhile, we have to sit at home and just wait for the courier to come.
Yeah, the ASOS. Or if you live at home like I do, you have to go and collect it because my mom would be like, why the fuck are you buying more clothes?
Exactly. You have to keep it from your
parents. Keep it from my parents. I still do it. I still do it.
And then you never tell them how much you actually paid
for them. Never. What's the golden rule? You half the price.
Yes.
And you half it again. You half it three times. Like basically, that's what I do.
Was it on sale? My mom, I mean, every time I come home, she's like, oh, Evelyn, I bought this new thing. Guess how much it cost?
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't know, like 20 quid. She's like, 5 quid.
Yeah.
5 quid.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, mom.
But then I do that. I do that.
Yeah, I do
when
that
I go
too.
Home. Yeah. So I go home and I'm like, Mom, I bought this coat. And then she's like, how much was it? And then we have to do the guess. And I'm like, no, guess again. And they were like, it was £12. I get so much joy out of it.
Me too.
I get so much joy.
I'm the opposite now. I get a lot of joy when the number is big.
Oh,
people are like, nice coat. $225.
Wow.
You're going to be the guy who sits and tells people about the watch you just bought.
No, I can't afford nice watches just yet. It's like four figures and above. But I'll splurge on a nice coat. A coat you wear every day.
What's the most you spent on an item of clothing, Nigel?
I think my coat. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's $285.
Oh. Yeah.
Blazer is $225, $250.
What brand?
Nice. Suit Supply. They fit me very well. Off the rack. Beautiful. No, I don't even need to trim the sleeves.
Wow.
And the waist is tapered, nice tapered waist, minimal shoulder padding. Oh man, Suit Supply. I love it. I love the brand. I can't afford it now. I'm a full-time comedian now. But
I've never heard of them. Where are they based?
They're menswear only.
Oh,
menswear.
That's why.
They're a Netherlands brand and they make very modern, contemporary looking suits and jackets. It's beautiful.
Great. Yeah.
Thank you. If you want to get laid, people, Suit Supply. Get them traveling whores. Well, after this whole discussion, you know, I have to say I'm very grateful. I, based on the symptoms you describe, I can definitely say I do not have depression. And I feel very grateful.
That's great.
Yes.
I'm so happy for you.
Thank you.
Are you bragging about your great mental health?
Yeah.
I don't know. I love showering in the morning. It's something I look forward to.
I'm not depressed. I love showering.
You know?
I can't be depressed.
Yeah.
I genuinely wash myself.
Listen, warm water washing over me. It's the best.
Have you ever had therapy?
No.
Would you ever consider having therapy?
Yeah, if I can afford it. It's always nice to tell people about your problems and they have to listen.
Therapy is great.
No? You get free therapy.
Yeah, that's what, when I have an appointment with my GP coming up and I'm going to bring that up.
Yeah, good.
Because I'm going through relationship stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I feel I'm being like decently well adjusted. I remember that same week, I was still making a YouTube video and I asked Evelyn to help. And Evelyn said, you know, I'm not worried about you, Nigel. I know you're going to be fine. That's what you said to me. Yeah. What a great friend. You know? No, I knew I was anyway. And you're not wrong.
You're very, I mean, yeah, you just handle, you're very kind of pragmatic. And you're That's very...
Yeah,
I do worry about people like you, Nigel.
Why? You think like, I'll snap one
Yeah.
Day? I worry about that too.
I think you're just going to go postal in a... Like, you're going to go mad in a church with a sword or something. Do you know what I mean? Like,
sword.
Oh, no.
Like,
it's so hard. Is that hard to get a gun here in the UK?
Yeah, or something.
Kill people with a sword?
I think something like that. Like, you'll be one of those... I don't know. I worry about people like that.
Really?
Yeah, that's why I'm like, that's why I brought up the therapy.
You just want everybody to be depressed. Like
no,
you.
I don't want to be depressed. I just want you to go talk to someone about your feelings.
I do. That's what friends are for.
No, but like properly, you know.
Yeah, I will. I'm planning it.
Good.
I would say I don't want you to wake up one day and you're 50 or something. You're like, shit, I have this great house, but where is like the people and stuff?
Everybody gets there anyway. You don't have to be depressed to get there. You think Jeff Bezos wakes up happy?
Not depressed. Not depressed, because you'll be very successful.
Thank you. We'll see how that goes. Huh?
But you want him to be successful life. Like in his personal life. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
I think what I value most, I think number one is health and number two is family. So I think I have a decent family life. I visit them. I'm doing twice a year now. I'm trying to, because now I can perform back home and I sell tickets.
Great.
Like, you know, sell decent number of tickets, do some shows, so it covers the flight costs.
Nice.
So I can visit them twice a year, one for like gigging and then visiting them, and one for just like going on holiday and staying at home, not gigging at all.
Yeah.
And it's always nice. I love seeing them.
Yeah.
So that's second. And then third would be my own career, I guess.
Yeah.
It's all right.
That's a great priority.
That's good. So where did the Blazers come in on this?
Blazers?
Like, before everybody.
Yeah. I don't really care about the Blazers, to be honest. They're just material things anyway. No. I look good in them. You know, but if you burn them.
You know
them
what
now,
I really love about you, Nigel, is so modest.
Yeah.
I know, right?
You can tell he's not British, because like a British person would like, do you know what I mean?
Really?
Like,
you hate yourself.
Yeah.
What's wrong with you?
I was in Canada recently and I was like, why is everybody so happy? And then I realized it's not just because they're happy. It's because they're not doing that thing where like when you pay a British person a compliment, they're like, oh, no, I'm fucking awful. I'm the worst person in the world. Right? Oh.
They just say, thank you.
Thanks. Yeah, here's my number. Give me a call.
It was just recently that I finally kind of said, oh, I think I'm depressed.
Yeah.
And that was a big relief.
Yeah.
It isn't an excuse, but it explained a lot.
No, it's not an excuse at all. It's the reason why you are the way that you are.
It's the reason why. And it just made me a lot kinder to myself. Oh, and a lot like, it's interesting. Yeah, yeah.
But you came to all of that by yourself.
Yes. And I started therapy about a year ago.
Okay.
But we didn't really talk about that. My therapist is more, she's very the belief of like sorting things out without medicine and stuff.
Yeah.
And I was like,
there's something to be said for that, you know. Yeah. Sure, if that's, but I think what people, and I'd like to say this as well, like very clearly as well for anybody who's listening, is like, I was suicidal and incredibly depressed, but at the same time going to fucking weddings and like brunches
and
performing every night and being on TV and going to auditions and it's like, you can be a functioning depressive, you know. It's just a shit way to live.
Exactly.
And yeah.
It's so, quite a performative state.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I would, I mean, and even now if I'm like, if I get really low on energy, I really worry. I'm like, is this, is it coming back? So that part of me is like never gone, because that's been my life for so long. I'm like, this is too good to be true. But I guess like you, as you live with it, you get to know yourself better.
Yeah.
You know, absolutely. You know that, okay, I get really tired around people, so I'm going to have to like have an early night or whatever, exactly. or I can't. Yeah.
And you're like, oh, this is stressing me and this is what's setting off my anxiety.
Yeah. And that is also self-care. Self-care is not all fucking like bubble baths and going for a walk and like, exactly. you know, gratitude journals or whatever. Like that's great if you can do that. But if your self-care is just like, I'm going to go up and I'm going to splash my face with some water today and that's all I can manage. You did it. You're still here.
Yeah.
And I think you should still be congratulated on that.
Absolutely. It is quite funny actually, because I was just in Edinburgh and I had such anxiety and I was staying in this kind of oldish hotel and I was convinced the hotel room was haunted.
Yeah.
And I couldn't fall asleep. Mm. And I realized, I'm like, my rational mind was telling me, no, 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 this is your anxiety.
Yeah.
This is like intrusive thoughts and this is all that stuff. But still, I just couldn't fall asleep. Mm. But it's so funny. That's what my mind is going to. It's like, oh, this room is haunted.
Yeah.
And there's going to be a ghost.
But you know what that is? A very good therapist I saw a couple of years ago told me about this, about the creative mind and anxiety. She was like, you as a creative person, as somebody who like thinks very visually, she's like, you are always going to go to the worst case scenario.
Yeah.
You're never going to go to, things are going to be great. And she's like, and the thing is, because you are creative, you're creating.
Yeah.
Like really elaborate stories about what's going to happen, whether it's, you know, this is haunted or whether
people scheming to plot.
I mean,
I think that's a really valid belief, actually.
I'd love if that was just a conspiracy.
Then people are like, what?
They're like, oh no, they're onto us.
Yeah.
But yeah, like that's how our mind works as creatives. Mm. Like we're always going to go for. Yeah. That kind of real worst case scenario.
I agree with that. You start thinking who's plotting against you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You're like, oh, this must be something.
And it can go so bad.
Yeah.
But I wanted to ask you, have you spoken to your parents about
yes. this? I didn't tell them I was going to do it. And I didn't tell many people, actually. I only told a couple, not even my agent. I didn't tell her. I just told her I was going on a little retreat. And I came back and I think one of the things that came up for me was about my parents was about, you know, I keep stuff from them. Like we keep stuff, you know, whether it's how much something really cost or, you know, like what we're doing in our lives or whatever. And I felt really close to them when I came back.
Yeah.
Because a lot of the stuff that came up for me around inner child, especially like seeing my dad at my birth and stuff like that on my first night, made me realize that there was a lot of work to do here. It's like we really need to like heal this relationship. And since then, we've become a lot closer. Aww. I sat down with my mom and I said, look, I said, you know, I went to Barcelona. You know, it wasn't for someone's birthday, which is what I told her.
I took drugs.
Yeah. I didn't say the D word. I was very careful to say the D word.
The D word. Drugs or dick?
Dick. Both.
And dick.
They probably want you to have dick, right?
No.
They train you to be a housewife.
No. Like a very chaste 1950s housewife. not a dick-loving housewife. So I know I told my mum. I sat her down and I was like, look, I've been really unhappy for so long. I've been really depressed. This is what I want to do. And I told her what I saw. And she was like, and she, do you know what? Like me and my mum are both chatty Cathys. Like we talk a lot. And she listened to me for the first time. She didn't like interrupt me and ask me to like make her a cup of tea or download WhatsApp on her phone again. Or, how the fuck are you deleting it every 2 weeks? This is what I want to know.
I mean, Asian parents.
Exactly. And technology. Don't. Yeah. Please don't. And I told her, and at the end, she was like, okay. So she was like, she said, and she was trying to like make sense of it. And obviously, look, I'm having this conversation in Punjabi as well. Like, so there's no like.
Ayahuasca. How do you translate that?
I was like, how do I say depression in Punjabi? Just with a Punjabi accent. Depression.
They're like, oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah, yeah, say depression. What? Depression. Oh! That's a routine right there.
Hey.
You ever tell your parents you have depression? You say depression, they don't get it, but you say depression. Oh!
Do you know what? I'm going to use that tonight.
Use that, it's funny.
Got a gig tonight. Thanks, man. Thanks.
It's so funny.
See what you can do when you don't have depression, Evelyn? You're productive in your career.
I'm like so... I've always
It's you so funny. Started it, so
yeah, oh yeah, that's
you're
true.
Flaunting it in
sorry,
her face.
Man, sorry, man.
Usually Nigel shits on the guests, but now it's just turned over to me.
This is what I do. This evil, manipulative, only child thing. This is what I do. But no, I told her she listened to it. She, you know, and then she went. She was like, oh, she's like, oh, okay. So it tells you about who you are and your past. And I was like, yeah. And she was like, oh, did it tell you about your future? And I was like, no. I was like, I don't really think I was. She's like, huh? She's like, you spent this much money. It didn't even tell you if you're going to get married.
Are you going to have kids? Are you going to have kids?
Yeah. But she said that it's not even a bit. And I would do it in my show, and people would laugh, and I'd be like, no, it's not a gag. This is what she actually said.
It's not a gag, but it's so a great funny. Relatable observation yeah. that nobody has, you know, not many people have seen on
yeah. Yeah, 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 yeah. And so I was like, she literally was like, oh, okay, fine.
Yeah, she was fine with you taking drugs, but then it was like,
hold on.
I don't take all the drugs. I just want the baby.
She's like, I don't care.
such a bad accent.
I'm just trying.
What is that?
Trying.
I take it back. This is the most white thing he's done. Doing someone else's accent is the whitest thing you've
ever
done.
Hey, listen. Just trying to for entertainment purposes.
At my expense.
Yeah.
Taking the piss out of my people.
Yeah, it's so fun. But yes, continue.
So she, since then, our relationship, we're much closer. Mm. We're much closer. Because I think like, when you're depressed, oh, certainly when I was depressed, everything I was doing was just about surviving. It was just about getting through the day. So things like empathy for other people and stuff, it's like, I can't give you anything, mate, because I'm running on empty the whole time. So as soon as that, it felt like a fog had lifted and I felt so much lighter within myself, I felt like I could really connect with her as a person. And it's probably the first time I've really seen my parents as people.
Yes.
And like just seeing like the stuff, you know, they had a really hard life, you know, and they came over in the 60s and they did all sorts of shit jobs and there was family stuff and there was like money issues and we were a single income family for years and years and years. And now we're in a good place and everything's great. But I think they obviously like still carry the scars of like what they went through. And I think I couldn't really appreciate that until I took ayahuasca, until all of that weight had been lifted. Yeah. And now I can see them as the fantastic people that they are.
Well, that's the thing. Like when you realize that your parents just did their best.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And that's all they can do. And that's all we can do.
Yeah. I know that you already knew that, Nigel.
What? Their parents did their best? No, they didn't. They could have worked harder. Mom and Dad, you guys fucked up, man. I think my parents did a good job. I love every time I go back, it feels really nice to spend time with them. And I try to talk to them. But I don't think they did the best they could.
But at the time, they did the best with what knowledge they had.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what it is. Like, sure, in hindsight, we can all go, oh, I should have. But the hindsight's fucking useless. It's like giving a bald man a comb. It's like, no fucking point. But at the time, you know?
Yeah.
You do the best that you can do at the time.
They just weren't very savvy people. And they got screwed over.
That's fine, but I'm sure they have some really lovely qualities as well, Nigel.
Yeah, they got some nice things.
Yeah.
They got some nice things. It's not all bad.
Well, this has been great. I'll see you again next week at the same time.
Yes.
I'll invoice you.
Thanks. I will say, like, when it comes to mental health and like the Asian community, like my dad, when he found out that I was seeing a therapist, he was like, "Why? Are you crazy?
Yeah.
What's wrong with you? Are you crazy?" And it's just such a funny thing because that's how it's viewed in the Asian community. Yeah. Like I have so many stories of my cousin just telling me, she's like, yeah, my friend, his dad left when they were young because his mom is kind of crazy. Mm. So now he has to take care of her and she's just kind of at home like demanding his time. And I'm like, she's not crazy. She needs mental help. Yeah. Like, she has poor mental health.
That is a thing that's in the Asian community, they don't acknowledge it.
Or it's, I don't know if you have this, but like, especially in like a lot of Indian culture, it's black magic. Someone's done black magic on you. Yeah.
Oh, like if you, like if you have cursed. Bad mental
yeah,
health.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, someone's been cursed or it's black
a bit
magic
of that too in Malaysia.
Yeah. And that,
she's been possessed by evil spirits.
That's why she's
yelling at the building.
Yeah. And if obviously like a lot of like mental illness can be hereditary as well, then it's like, oh, well, you know, that's the sins of your fathers.
Yeah, or, your
like,
sins. You know, yeah.
Or past lives and stuff like that. And that's, and people are like seriously mentally ill.
That's so awful. Yeah.
That's why we're making this episode of the podcast. You know, we have quite a few Asian listeners all over the world. So if you have any, if you need help, go seek it out.
I feel like we should offer some, not solutions, but maybe like some words of encouragement.
Not a solution, ayahuasca. Solves all your problems.
Really go and take a drug.
Yeah.
It's like a drug's good. No, I feel like we should offer solutions for people who are maybe going through some shit.
But I don't think it's...
Yeah.
Like, not like, go do this, but it's just some words of encouragement, no?
And I think you are in a better position to offer it because I have never really experienced all this before.
Yeah, like you keep saying and you keep rubbing it in, Nigel. Yes, we know you're
very sane.
Very stable.
Healthy, stable as
whatever.
Fuck. You don't even know.
What do you want to say, Evelyn?
What I want to say, therapy is great. For me personally, it's been really great just to talk to somebody. Mm. And finally, kind of acknowledging things, like acknowledging that, oh, I was depressed and I can see how I probably inherited it. And also as like a immigrant kid, you carry a lot of your parents' baggage as well.
Yeah, especially at the airport.
That was such a bad joke.
Oh, my God. I can't go all of this out. All right.
Such
carry
a
on.
Bad joke. What did I want to say? If you feel you're having a tough time, but you don't really know why, do try and speak with somebody professional, maybe your GP or doctor that can direct you to find a mental health professional. Mm-hmm. And also know that it's okay to feel the shame and the stigma of it, because that's kind of how the Asian community has treated mental health. So know that you are not alone in feeling that. But also know that you don't have to come out with it directly. Everything's up to you. But if you want help, there are places that you can find the help that you sort of want and need. And take it in your own time. And then how much you share of it with other people is up to you.
Yeah.
But there are people out there who will root for you and support you. And if you want, just send a DM. Yeah. And I'll make sure to fill your DM with some affirmations.
Same here, even nice. Though, despite all I just said.
Yeah, don't send it to...
Don't send it to Nigel.
I'm supportive too. I'm nurturing and caring and empathetic.
Unless you want a blazer.
Yeah, don't DM Nigel. You want a nice-fitting blazer,
he's your
Nigel.
Man. He's your man. If you want nitrate...
I wear a 36R, so if you're about the same size, yeah, I'll let you wear it. But it won't look good.
I'll let you wear it.
You're renting it out now.
I will. I'm supportive too, people.
In your own way.
Yeah.
In your own way.
We can talk.
And Nigel's very supportive.
Yeah. I'm supportive to you, Evelyn, you know?
Yeah, you are, actually.
Got WhatsApp messages. We work together. And it's making this podcast is, you know, there's a lot of work involved. Mm-hmm. I think we do it well. We're very supportive of what
you're a good
we
team.
Do. Yeah, we're a good team.
A good team. You do, you kind of... not cancel each other out, because that's not the right phrase. But you kind of
compliment
each energies. Other. Yeah. You've got great energies.
What about you, Sook? Any advice?
I would just say, no, you're not alone. Depression can be a really scary place. And know that you're not alone in this. And there are a lot of people... How it can seem generally is that you're the only person dealing with it and everybody else is happy and great. But, you know, there are other people in your position. It's not always easy to go and talk to someone. If you can, great. If you can't talk to someone, social media has been really, really useful for me, especially Instagram. And like, you know, talking to other people about it has been really useful. And sometimes even just like a well-timed post can really help that. So seek out your kind of community in other places if you can. Obviously doctors would be great. If you're in the UK, therapy is available on the NHS. Remember that all depression looks the same, so somebody else's version of depressed is not yours.
If you're in the US, they're therapists too, but it'll cost money.
It was money,
but it's worth it.
Do it if you also if you can afford it. Like I know it's like a real privilege to be able to access therapy and even to like go to therapy, you know, because obviously they're at certain times and you have to go at the same time every week, blah blah blah. Again, my DMs are open if you want to talk. And just know you're not alone. Know that we're all kind of doing the best that we can. Know that also, and I think this was really life-changing for me, is that it's not normal to be happy all the time.
Oh yeah.
And this was really sold to me. I feel like this is really sold to us, isn't it? That it's like, if you're not happy, something's
wrong. Only in the Western world, by the way.
Yeah, only in the Western world.
I grew up like kind of Buddhist sometimes, and we have this thing called 生老病死. 生 is like you get born, mm-hmm. and then you age, and then you get sick, and then you die. So that's life. Maybe that's why I'm so well adjusted.
Is that the title of your new Edinburgh show?
Yeah.
That should be.
It should be, man. That's gold.
Yeah. So, is it not supposed to be happy all the time? What are you, insane?
Yeah. But I think in the West, like, and I bought this hook, line, and sinker also because I'm a massive romantic, is that, we should be happy all the time. And if I wasn't happy, it's like, so not only was I depressed, but then I was like shaming myself for being depressed.
Exactly.
And then there's like another level of that.
Where whole it's cycle, like, the negative cycle.
And then it's like, oh, but now I live with my parents and now I've got to hide it from them. And that, you know, and here, and now I've got to go on stage and I've got to go hide it everywhere. And, and then, like you were saying, it's very performative. So it's not normal to be happy all the time. It's okay to feel shit. Like, don't shame yourself for feeling shit.
Go listen to some breakup songs.
Fuck yeah, have a cry. Do
go karaoke.
Shit.
That was what I wanted to say. Like, if you have a day where you just want to stay in bed and order fried chicken.
That's what Deliveroo's for. Do it.
Man. I'm going to confess this. I had one day where I got Uber Eats twice.
That's cool, man.
I've done that a lot.
It's all right. People do it all the time.
I do that because it's a way of making me more productive. I don't have to leave the house.
Mm, yeah, there you go. True. And I was editing an episode of the pod.
See, that's why. We work so hard for you. We get delivery twice. So send us some money, people.
Yeah, buy us a coffee.
Yeah.
Buy us a coffee. I would say I do that, but I live at home, and so my house is always has food. So.
Asian parents. Asian parents.
Also, another thing that helped me a lot was I found a podcast called The Hilarious World of Depression.
Don't be plugging other people's podcasts and our podcast. You're driving away traffic.
I was going to say, I'm going to plug another podcast on our podcast.
No.
But that was a great help.
Anyway, this has been joyous.
What do you have coming up? So
I'm doing my first solo UK tour.
Very nice.
Starting in January 2020 and all over the country. My show is called Life Sucks. Yeah, I love a pun, man.
That is the widest thing about you, Sook.
It's a very British thing.
Yeah,
super British.
I told you I'm basic bitch. Yeah, it's called Life Sucks. It's about some of the stuff that you've heard already, plus some other funny
depression joke.
Yeah.
Depression.
Yeah, plus some like funnier shit. And you can find me on sukkojla.com for all the dates, or follow me on For Sook's Sake on Instagram,
Twitter.
Yeah.
Yeah, awesome. That's a great, yeah, shout. Pun.
Very good.
What about you, Nigel?
Yeah, come see me Soho Theatre in London, February 3rd to the 8th. And if you are in Australia, I'll be in Melbourne and hopefully Sydney, working out some dates next year. All the links will be in the show notes, and sign up to my mailing list.
Oh my God, he's done this before.
Every episode.
Smooth. So smooth.
I wear blazers. What do you expect?
Yeah, what a fuck,
I'm not
man.
British.
He goes to Suit Supply.
Slick as shit.
Yeah, he likes nice things.
He just slides into DMs like nobody's biz. Mm.
What about you, Evelyn?
Thank you, Suck. Well, I will also be having a few working progresses this spring, the first one of which is Vaults Festival, the 5th of February. So I say, see Nigel's shows on the other dates and then come to me on the 5th. And
what's your show called?
My show will be called Work in Progress.
Nice. I love that title.
Thank you. Evelyn Mock, Work in Progress. And follow us on the social media. At Evelyn Mock, at Mr. Nigel Ung, and then also the podcast Rice to Meet You Pod on both Instagram and Twitter, and find all the stuff there related to the podcast.
Yep. And as Lizzo would put it, love yourself, people.
100% that bitch.
Yes.
Thank you so much for listening. See you next time.
Bye. Bye.
Hey again, guys. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. Just a reminder, we do have the Patreon page, so head on over and support the podcast. And again, if you're not in a position to become a patron, just head over to Apple Podcasts and give us a review and rating so that we can grow and keep reaching new people. Talk to you next week. Bye.